everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Our friend Coach Red Pill has died. It is amazingly, it's shocking to see people die. People that I consider horizontally to me, you know, not people of the last generation, but people who have been friends, people who I've risen on the internet as a celebrity alongside with. It's fascinating to see them die, and it's fascinating how shocking it is to think of someone who is your peer, who has been a guest on this show, who has in fact called me just before he got arrested in Ukraine. He wanted to talk to me in private, and who I still have my sample of the Wilshire Boulevard, the fiction novel that was written by Coach Red Pill and that was never released. And now I have a big weight on my mind, which is, should I release the Wilshire Boulevard? How does that work? Is one person entitled to die with the information that they chose not to release? Or can I take the circumstances of his death as justifying the release of the novel? In any case, I am the sole owner of an exemplar of the Wilshire Boulevard, a novel that was written by Coach Red Pill at some point in his life, where he had called me and he had said, Jeff, I'm looking for a big change. I'm looking for a big change in my life. He had been streaming. He had been very popular as Coach Red Pill. And he was saying, John Selmer says you would have to get clearance from his family. Papa JF does not get clearance from anyone. Papa JF releases on the blockchain. Papa JF releases in ways that you don't even know it would be me. Seriously, he was wishing for a change, and I've known him through various waves of his e-celebrity from the very beginning. I've known Coach Red Pill from streams where there were 10 viewers and we were hanging out on these streams. So that's how far it goes between me and Gonzalo Lira. I've seen him through various eras, the blood sports era. And amazingly, Coach Red Pill, as an old man, really, of the internet, has always been performing extremely well. He has been outcompeting many big YouTubers and has been bringing very actual and very current coverage that has surpassed in quality what many other streamers are capable of producing. And in this final fantastic demonstration of his life, he has put himself in the front line of a war, and in my view has seeked to make a case with his death. And so we'll talk about the career of Coach Red Pill tonight. Rest in peace, Coach Red Pill, aka Gonzalo Lira. He lived to the fullest extent and took the greatest of risks to get Ukrainian pussy. As I often say, the only problem with the Ukrainian woman is her gangster male cousin. CRP died for the sins of the American military industrial complex. We have a handwritten note from Coach Red Pill as he was dying, a handwritten note to his sister. We have his father having confirmed his death on Tucker Carlson, and we have Tucker Carlson confirming that he is dead. The last pinned tweet of Gonzalo Lira still stands as he was starting to get silenced by the Ukrainian regime. He says, for the truth about the Zelensky regime, Google these names: Vladimir Strzok, Denis Kiriev, Mikhail and Alexander Kononovich, Nestor Shufrich, Jan Taksir, Dmitry Jangirov, Elena Bereznaya. Once again, if you haven't heard from me in 12 hours or more, put my name on this list. Those are all people who have been killed by the Ukrainian corrupt regime. And now Gonzalo Lira stands stands as another person who got killed under the care of the Ukrainian regime. Shamrock Shake says, do they know how he died? It seems that Coach Red Pill had a major pulmonary problem with inflammation and edema, and he wasn't taken care of properly. The staff of the prison denied that he had any problem, and they let him basically die from a pneumonia, from a medical thing that, if it had been handled, could have been handled properly, and he could have still lived. We have the words of Coach Red Pill here on death. Let's see what he had to say.
You should do something like a little thought experiment. A thought experiment that I'm realizing is extremely useful. Imagine to yourself that you are going to absolutely die in, say, 10 years. Mm? From today's date, in exactly 10 years, you are going to be dead. Mm? And no illness or cancer and shit like that. You know, you're just going to be walking along and struck by lightning. And there's no place to hide, okay? Just you know, for those autists who want to say, well, what if you're indoors or in a concrete bunker? No, you know, God or the supreme being or the aliens or whoever the fuck is just going to come down and just wipe you out. Presto, done. In 10 years from right now, you're going to be dead. Now, think about that. Think about what kind of life you'd want to live over the next 10 years. I mean, you know you're going to die, right? Let's just posit it. That absolutely true that in 10 years' time, in what is today's date? May 19th of 2031, your brain is going to explode and your heart is going to burst and it'll be painless, but, you know, that's it. You're dead. What do you do in the time you have left?
So that was the message of Coach Red Pill in this video about death. What would you do with the time you have left? And I believe that this is exactly what Coach Red Pill has been doing. So I've known Coach Red Pill from the moment I had a lot of guests back in the days on my show, The Public Space. And he seemed like open to appear on the show, and he had a relatively big channel, smaller, I believe, than mine, or maybe slightly bigger than mine, in the same order of magnitude. And I was looking at his videos, and they were all titles, like they were all like harmony or death. Or there were all a single word, and Coach Red Pill was delivering the red pill, basically, in the early history of video internet, delivering red pills through videos, small videos that he was editing, that he was spending a lot of time with different camera angles, and he had a passion for cinematography, and he would always deliver the red pill view on a subject, and you would have these wild theories. Some of them were just valid. Some of them were just pure red pill view on life and woman. And some of them were just wild theories, like Sargon knew. And oh my God, this was leading to so many memes. And we kind of connected on the theme of truth. He liked me because I was a truth seeker, and I liked him because he was trying to get to the truth also in his own way, and that made us both truth seekers. Of course, he didn't have the hardcore rationality of the hard scientist. He was more intuitive with the world, and he was going on with his intuition, with his understanding, which was quite legendary and good. And I knew that deep inside, he had told me in private that his main motivation for his YouTube channel was the fact that he couldn't be in contact with his children, and that he had been denied a life in which he could make children as a young man. And so he had made children later, and perhaps there was some divorce stuff, or I didn't know exactly what was the situation, but somehow he couldn't be in full contact with his children. And most importantly, his children that he was in contact with were much younger than him because he made them late in life. And what he wanted is for his video contributions on the public space to stand and play the role of mentoring his children after his death, because he knew that even if he was still alive when his children are 18, 20, he couldn't be there really as a young man to guide them in the modern world. But he thought that I'm going to use the last moments of my clear cognition to give a red pill view to my children, my son, and I'm going to let this survive on the internet so that it gets carried to them in some form. That was the Coach Red Pill that I knew, and it was a Coach Red Pill who was he was tired of the level of discussion on the internet. He found it too low, and he wanted to have more serious intellectual conversations on the state of the world. And he was finding that the whole routine of YouTube atheist channels and secularist channels saying, haha, God doesn't exist, that this was all very small. And he wanted to push for a greater understanding of the world through his YouTube contribution. And he got there, and we were hanging out. We were trying to get ourselves onto big streams together, trying to push this view that, hey, you know, it's not all black and white. It's not the world of religion and then the world of secularism. There are all sorts of hidden liberal priors within the world of secularism that are coming to hit you if you convert to atheism, if you fight so hard against religion that you drop the baby with the bathwater, basically. And those were some of the early points that he wanted to push on streams in which he was participating. And that's basically Coach Red Pill is the reason I got to be a co-host of Warski Live, because Coach Red Pill invited me to a religious, ultra-orthodox or whatever channel, and we were having this very low audience discussion, and suddenly Andy Warski comes on this stream, because back in those days, you weren't invited on streams, you just showed up, and you were connecting to the Google Hangout, and people were sharing the link readily with new guests. And so Andy Warski somehow shows up out of nowhere and starts discussing with us. And eventually that leads us to go on to the Andy Warski show and make the point that, you know, there are current discussions about race that were never had by society. And we should have these discussions now that conversation is free, now that we can, basically. And that transition from the small stream I was talking to Andy Warski to the bigger stream we did on the Andy Warski channel eventually made me a useful tool in Andy Warski to expand his audience toward an intellectual alt-right type of audience. And the rest is history. We built this show that became a legend of the internet. And this is all thanks to Coach Red Pill. Coach Red Pill had this slightly networking approach to him that was kind of foreign to me. But that's how he was. Like, he was all, Jeff, do you need contacts? Do you want me to present you to this friend? I have a friend here, and I have this friend. And I remember I met Brittany Pettibone, the beautiful Brittany Pettibone. I met her in Ontario because of Coach Red Pill. Somehow Coach Red Pill talked to her in private and said, you should do an interview with JF. And somehow we ended up in this skyscraper in Toronto, with Andy Warski, Brittany Pettibone interviewing me. Not that it was an important interview of any sort, but it was all the kind of Coach Red Pill trying to be the granddad caring for JF, for the small Papa JF, and trying to push him forward. And it was like, I don't need this. I don't care about meeting Brittany Pettibone. But Coach Red Pill would still make it happen. So Coach grew and grew on his Red Pill discourse, mostly on protecting modern males. And Coach was very much aware of the dangers of female leftism of the modern world, because he had an experience of false allegations against him in college, which were reviewed not by a criminal court, but by these university bureaucrat courts that eventually deprived him of some opportunity. I think he may have been kicked out of the college for a false allegation reviewed by some committee, some bureaucratic committee. And what I didn't know then, as I knew him, was that he was also a cineast before becoming Coach Red Pill. He was Gonzalo Lira, as it turns out, and this got to be discovered during the Bloodsports era. And Coach Red Pill had already done TV appearances, including on Russia Today, and had done various blogs and economic commentary at the geopolitical level as Gonzalo Lira. He was a cineast who had done some movies, and he was originating from Chile. So we got to know this as he got doxxed and as he started getting attacked by the mainstream media. And he continued growing, and eventually just took it in, his doxing, and accepted, and eventually made it his all true identity, Gonzalo Lira, and started tweeting as Gonzalo Lira. And then he continued growing, commenting on various e-celebs, commenting on the state of society. And then the Ukraine war popped, and not so long before that happened, he had told me, I want a change. I want a change. And he had sent me this, Kelly says he wrote a lot of books. He had sent me this exemplar of Wilshire Boulevard, and he had asked me to review it in full, and I did. And I interviewed him on the subject, and I commented, there's a whole, out there, there's an episode of me interviewing him and commenting on the writing. The Wilshire Boulevard story is basically a story about female incompetence. And just females in this book are messing everything up. I was reading through the book and I was hating. I was hating because I was like, why is she fucking everything up? But I don't remember much of the book other than this, that it's really themed around female incompetence and females wanting too much and messing up the situation for males. In that sense, it's very interesting writing, because there's something when you read fiction novel these days, they are all very female gazed. They are all very womanly. And you know, I can't really connect with too much of a womanly approach to storytelling, but the writing of Coach Red Pill put me in a state where I was truly sympathetic to the characters that were there, because they were going through a lot because of female abuse, basically. That and Coach Red Pill had told me, I'm going to change. Something's going to change in my life. And I didn't think much about this. I didn't know what it meant. But eventually we learned that he had moved to Ukraine. And it seems that he had moved to Ukraine to reassociate with family life. It's not clear to me, was he joining kids that he had already produced, or was he going back with an ex? Or was he going with a current wife? In any case, he had his new studio in Ukraine. He wasn't in the UK anymore. And he wasn't saying yeah anymore. Yeah? Yeah? Because the price of Bitcoin will go to zero. Yeah? And that's another thing he had told me then. He had told me, Jeff, I know you've been talking a lot about Bitcoin on your show. I want just to warn you. Bitcoin is going to zero. It's bullshit. Just sell it all. It's not going to work. Amazingly, Coach Red Pill told me this with Bitcoin at 10K. And I had went into Bitcoin at 7K. And Coach Red Pill was telling me, Jeff, you're going to get scammed. Bitcoin is bullshit. It's going to go down. And I remember I didn't want to be moralized by Coach Red Pill because my relationship with him was a remote emotional relationship. I didn't want him to get into that private space of mine of telling me what to do with my money. And I was seeing Coach Red Pill as an old man with gray hair, and it's like, maybe you don't know, Coach. So I remember what I said to him then. I said, by the way, Coach, when I said on my show that I went all in into Bitcoin, you have to know what it is. It was just like $3 or $4. I just put $3 into Bitcoin. Like the price of a coffee. And he was like, oh, okay, then you're okay. I lied to Coach Red Pill. And I consider still as of today that this is a legitimate lie, because Coach was trying to invade a private space of mine that's between me and Bitcoin. It's like, you have nothing to do in there, Coach. Too much invasion, Coach. Too much information. I don't want to have to justify to an old man in the UK or the Ukraine what I do with my money. And holy shit, was I right. And so I lied. I told Coach Red Pill that I had only $3 in Bitcoin. Oh my God. And so Zero Hedge is titling, Gonzalo Lira reported dead in Ukrainian custody, according to father. Gonzalo Lira Sr. says his son has died at 55 in a Ukrainian prison where he was being held for the crime of criticizing Zelensky and Biden governments. Gonzalo Lira was an American citizen, but the Biden administration clearly supported his imprisonment and torture. So that is the late life of Coach Red Pill. It is not the Coach Red Pill I have known, but it was a spectacular end. And what he says about death, he knew that he was going to die. Eventually, when Coach Red Pill told me his life was about to change, he sent a message on his Patreon saying, I'm about to die, and I have an incurable heart disease. I'm about to die, and so that is it. I'm going to try to do what I can. I know that everything he was doing from there was Coach Red Pill trying to do something with death, trying to accept death and accept the finitude of his being on Earth and try to do the best out of it. Aquanaut says, wasn't there? Yeah, Aquanaut, this is exactly what I just mentioned. That was the state, and he actually lived longer, and he ended up dying not even of the thing that he knew he was going to die from, which is amazing, because it's the choice of making your death matter a little more. Coach Red Pill was faced with a time bomb on his head, and he decided to revert this, to not accept the state of nature, revolt against it, and say, I'm going to do something else with my death. And here we have Alex Rubenstein, who has a copy of a handwritten note written by Coach Red Pill, apparently just before he died. Tell my sister, I have had a double pneumonia, both lungs, as well as pneumothorax, and a very severe case of edema, swelling of the body. All this started in mid-October, but was ignored by the prison. They only admitted I had pneumonia at a December 22nd hearing. I am about to have a procedure to reduce the edema pressure in my lungs, which is causing extreme shortness of breath to the point of passing out after minimal activity or even just talking for 2 minutes. Gonzalo. So those are the last words that we have from Gonzalo. He may have died from the edema itself, or he may have died from the surgery that was meant to control the edema, or and in any case, he has died from not being cared for quickly enough and not being cared for at all. He has died from the carelessness of a prison system in Ukraine that is meant to let people die. So that is the situation. And I was looking into my old paper a few days ago, and I found this drawing that I had done of Coach Red Pill. Back in the days, 2017, 2018, I was attempting to master hand drawing with charcoal. I had used my friend's Coach Red Pill video as a model. He's still the only person I have ever drawn. I found that drawing among my old papers a few days ago. That was the first person I ever attempted to draw with charcoal. I had took a random Coach Red Pill video and I had paused it at a certain frame. And I still have that that piece of paper, although it's ripped and everything, and it's folded at some place. It does look like Coach Red Pill to me. For a first drawing, it's interesting how it does remind me of his face back then. So the last stretch of Coach Red Pill was to turn himself into a war reporter at the front line of what is often falsely claimed to be the kind of advanced front line of Western civilization, of the free world. And I believe that he has turned his death into an occasion for people to realize there is no such thing as extending Western civilization. There is no such thing as a European Ukraine. There is no such thing as, because you extend the legal structures, because you extend NATO, there's no such thing as extending the ideology that is at the root of the West into other nations with other people. Ukraine is incapable of justice. Ukraine is incapable of the Western mindset. And the only extent to which there will be a relationship between the East and the West is one of drainage, parasitism, and corruption. And he did this demonstration by basically just standing at the front line on the Ukrainian side and rooting for Putin. Not even in an obvious way, but basically saying, haha, the Ukrainians have no chance, which was absolutely true. So Coach Red Pill died only because of stating the truth. That is what's so amazing. It's not like he took the time to truly make a geopolitical analysis that was accurate. And he died from it. He was killed by a system that doesn't care about due process, that doesn't care about the First Amendment. And in fact, in many ways, this whole shadowy distribution of funds from the U.S. to Ukraine is done in a way as to have a territory out there where these funds can be subject to corruption and cannot be subject to the oversight associated with the American Constitution. And yes, Rudy Lissett, the truth that many people are repeating now, he was guilty because he said it among the first. That is all that Coach Red Pill did. He stood there 8 months before anyone and said what people were going to say in the mainstream 8 months earlier or 1 year earlier. That is all that he's done. He's commented on. He's been doing a continuous delivery of live streams that were aimed at demonstrating that the math just isn't there. There is no such thing as a Ukrainian counteroffensive. And thanks to him, we got to know this a little bit in advance. Because I could have reached those conclusions eventually, but Coach Red Pill gave us the earliest insight that we could possibly get on this question. And the earliest insight into the whole layer of corruption that exists under those distributions of fund. The ultimate reason why are we in a war that can only be lost? Why are we in a non-winning side all the time? That's always what happens with American wars. And now we know a little more of it because Coach Red Pill took the risks of being assassinated for telling those truths, for covering what are the billionaires that are being excluded and included into the control of current Ukraine. And what is the end game of having an actor, a Jewish actor like Zelensky, go from playing a president on TV in Ukraine, a president that in his fiction TV performance would end up tying Ukraine and Europe, and then make this happen in reality, try to realize the meme that was first on TV. Coach Red Pill is still the only thinker alive, the thinkers that have commented on this situation as they were alive. He's still the only one who has given that layer of insight of understanding Koyomoisky and all these Ukrainian elites and how they relate to the current push for war and the fake calls for counteroffensive of Zelensky and why we have created this situation as Americans. So all in all, Coach Red Pill has lived a spectacular life, having a profound effect on live streaming. And I will remember him as one of the foundational pillars of modern streaming. There is not much people alive right now who I can see from here to their death realizing as much as Coach Red Pill has done. That is how important, ultimately, his contribution was. Shring Mamel sends a super chat. He says, "Jeff, I will miss CRP. I started watching him sometime in 2013 or 2014 when I was in high school. I thought it was refreshing that he wasn't another skeptic / liberals such as Shuwanad or Sargon." Yes. It was the second wave of the internet that came to change the state of things toward a more creative, a more diverse future. A creativity that still hasn't fully reborn yet, because it was part of a wave of thinkers who were targeted by the censorship of 2016 to 2020 and the shadow bannings, and he had himself to remake channels, to rebrand in various ways. It's rare that he was directly censored in the sense of given strikes or banned from YouTube, but he was enough targeted that he knew he had to move to other channels. And because of this, his legacy as a contribution to public thinking in an honest and fair and open way has only reborn recently with the freedom that we got on X. But by the time this was back, he was truly not allowed to speak because he had been warned on all of his official channels, including his Telegram contribution, his Twitter, that the Ukrainians were looking at what he was saying, and sometimes there were court orders keeping him from properly speaking, which is the whole essence of his demonstration. The Ukrainian world is not fit to Western freedoms. And so anything that you do with the Ukrainians will always be a relationship with a people that is fundamentally different, that doesn't belong in Western civilization, simply, and that cannot fit in it. as far as my last contact with Coach Red Pill, it was on a Zoom call. And he had said, Jeff, I'd like to talk to you. And he called me on Zoom. And he was nervous. He was worried that he was going to get arrested. He had already been arrested and then released. And it was just a few days before he would get permanently arrested. Maybe a week, maybe about 7 days or maybe 3 days. I don't remember. So he called me and he said, I need to talk to you. And really what I found is that he didn't really have anything to tell me. He just wanted to hang out, and it seems that he was so nervous that he felt this compulsion of having a friend and speaking to him. Because he had nothing of import to tell me. I was just complimenting him on the size of what he had started in terms of playing an important role on the Ukraine commentary, the whole Duran Duran appearances and the big streams that he had done. And yeah, that, and he started showing me through the window of his hotel. And he was like, I can't show this on stream, JF, but I'll show this to you. And he was showing me literally the street he was on from his hiding place. Because then he was hiding in an apartment. Yeah, not a hotel, but maybe an apartment. An apartment that he had where he was thinking that he was hiding hidden strongly enough from the feds and the assassins that were after him. And he had been told by the lady of that controlled one of his other apartments, hey, I just saw a bunch of mafioso looking for you. They want to kill you. So he had to run away from his initial apartment. He was in this other apartment. And I was like, you know, coach, it's not super clever to be showing me this video right there, because I'm not a fed and I will never betray you. And as soon as this call ends, it will disappear from my computer. But, you know, we could be wiretapped, and we probably very much are. And he didn't seem to care. He just wanted me to show. He wanted to show me the street. He was like, oh, yeah, don't worry. He was careless in his sharing of information to me. And I still don't know. Is that conversation what caused his arrest? Because they had been looking for him for many months. He appears in a Zoom conference with me, shows me too much information. I, of course, as an ethical man, delete all of the information. But Coach Red Pill, you know, was careless, and we were on a Zoom call. It's not like we were on a Tor network, on a unidentified line with layers of encryption. I was like, bro, you know, there's a staff member of Zoom that's looking at us right now. Zoom is not a secure way to communicate secrets. And just a few days after he shows me this, he gets arrested. And yeah, then there was this whole ending where he actually tried the last stream as he was released from jail. And he tried the last stream filming himself trying to pass the border. And he ended up trying to pass the border in the Hungary direction, if I remember correctly. And that was the most obvious point where that was not a good idea to be headed there, certainly not on a main road. And he tried to present himself at the station of the official immigration forces. So it's like, you know, there are ways where you can try to use forest to your advantage. Coach Red Pill didn't use the forest. He showed honorably at the immigration station, at the border station, and they denied his exit, and they throw him back in jail. They considered this was an attempt at escaping Ukraine. So yeah, you can't play the honorable path against a people that is fundamentally dishonorable. And that is what I retain. And I believe that this is what Coach Red Pill wanted to show with his death. You can't send billions of dollars to Zelensky because he tells you we're doing a counteroffensive. He's not doing it. He's going to send you some cannon fodder to be exploded by the Russians so that he can make the case that he's made a counteroffensive. But he's definitely not doing it for real. And you can't show up honorably at a border and ask for leaving Ukraine. You can't leave Ukraine if you've been found to be an opposition person of the regime, in a regime that is at this point a martial law regime. John Drake says, trying to pass the border under your own name wasn't smart. The forest is right. Yeah. But to all these people, and I've seen Kurt Doolittle, among others, complaining that, oh, what he did was stupid. I don't think that what he did was stupid. I think there was an aim for it. And to anyone who thinks what he did was stupid, I would refer to this video, and I would say the best interpretation of the end of life of Coach is this.
Do something like a little thought experiment, a thought experiment that I'm realizing is extremely useful. Imagine to yourself that you are going to absolutely die in, say, 10 years. Mm? From today's date, in exactly 10 years, you are going to be dead. Mm? And no illness or cancer and shit like that. You know, you're just going to be walking along and struck by lightning. And there's no place to hide, okay? Just you know, for those autists who want to say, well, what if you're indoors or in a concrete bunker? No, you know, God or the supreme being or the aliens or whoever the fuck is just going to come down and just wipe you out. Presto, done. In 10 years from right now, you're going to be dead. Now, think about that. Think about what kind of life you'd want to live over the next 10 years. I mean, you know you're going to die, right? Let's just posit it. That absolutely true that in 10 years time, in what is today's date, May 19th of 2031, your brain is going to explode and your heart is going to burst and it'll be painless, but you know, that's it, you're dead. What do you do in the time you have left?
So that is how he lived the rest of his life. He did something with it. He did something that made a point. He has martyrized himself, in my view. He has martyrized himself so that we would see that obviously Ukraine is not an extension of the US. The US isn't even an extension of the US, as far as I'm concerned. The borders are not where you think they are. You think the borders of the U.S. are on the side of California? They're on the side of freaking South Dakota. And you think the borders of the developed world is at Ukraine? The borders of the developed worlds are all circumscribed in the no-go zones of France and England. And he made a clear demonstration of this. Because in a fair society, there is this general assumption that a thinker should not be killed for his thinking, that a U.S. government shouldn't fund a regime that tortures someone for thinking. And in a healthy society, someone comes to the rescue of Coach Red Pill. Let us not forget that this is a regime to which Joe Biden can make one single call and say, oh yeah, you're thinking about investigating these people for corruption? You won't. And they'll make it happen. And so that's all that it took. A phone call from not even Joe Biden, but maybe a staff of Joe Biden could have done it, saying, hey, you're not going to persecute Gonzalo Lira. In fact, we're going to repatriate him immediately. And as he stands on U.S. soil, he will be protected by the First Amendment. But this didn't happen. Instead, he had to be put through a torturous process of death in jail with careless medical neglect And if his death served to demonstrate this, then it's a demonstration that was needed. Not because we didn't know that's what would happen, but because sometimes you need to see it. And that's what a YouTuber does. It very often our job is not is to tell people things that they already know, but to put it on the screen in a way that it's undeniable, in a way that it's unquestionable. And Gonzalo has done this throughout his life. All right, this will be clipped for my Twitter account. How have you been doing in the regular chat? Silver Spider says, I would never be a martyr. Oh, well, you know, I don't think you want to be a martyr ever. I think you just, you're pushed into that direction by the faith, but by the mechanisms of life. Some people find themselves in a situation where it makes sense to their calculations, to their preferences. It makes sense for them to choose that path. I believe that is the process by which one becomes a martyr. Kelly says, right, I can imagine the administration really getting off on him in that prison. If you can't go listen to Victoria Nuland's video and think over that again. yes, I don't think it was meant for me, but maybe you're talking to someone else on the chat. Reclaim says, such a meaningful tribute to CRP. Nice job, JF. Well, thank you. Yesterday, I'm stunned because I always say I will not watch a video that's older than my birth date, which is 1984. I refuse to watch any video that's older than 1994 because I've done 1984 because I've done it before and I know it's crap. Videos before 1984, and in fact a lot of them after 1984, but it's almost impossible that they're properly written, that they are interesting to watch. But I have a sensitive hole in my armor. It is the great beauty and elegance and grace of my girlfriend. And my girlfriend told me, well, JF, you know, you should watch maybe the Wizard of Oz movie from 1939. And she totally has this hole in my armor where I felt like saying yes. I feel like saying yes in general to this woman because she's wonderful. So I ended up watching this movie, and it is a good movie. It is it is totally American. I can't believe the American-ness of this movie. Like it's. It feels American, like the girl is from Kansas. And I was super interested because my girlfriend told me, did you know, JF, that The Wizard of Oz is a metaphor around the gold standard? And the Oz, the O-Z, is chosen as a symbol of the gold standard. And I didn't know this. I didn't know at all. I kind of was traumatized by The Wizard of Oz because I remembered the Tin Can Man, and I was kind of scared of him as a child. But yeah, it's a fascinating allegorical metaphor of gold, of the gold standard being a kind of ideal to which you aspire. And even if that ideal is a lie, it still drives people toward their best selves. And I laughed my ass off. I can't believe I laughed my ass off at a movie from 1939. There's not a single movie between 1939 and today, and like 1980, that I'm able to laugh because it's too old, the humor is outdated, I'm not connecting to it, I'm not feeling it. But I laughed my ass off when the Munchkin people start celebrating Dorothy and they start singing a song And it's like, she has killed the Wicked Witch of the East. And she will be remembered in our Hall of Fame. The way they take Dorothy and they kind of declare her as the murderer of the Wicked Witch of the East. I don't know why, but I was laughing my ass off as I was watching this. It is so, you know, she's totally out of it. She's like, what the fuck is happening? And yet you have all these munchkin dancing and the Wicked Witch is dead. And poor Dorothy is like, I don't know. Why am I being celebrated like this? And yeah, they go on a very structured novel type of telling of a kid's story, you know. She meets the Tin Man. She meets the Scarecrow. The Scarecrow has a problem. He doesn't have a brain. She meets the Tin Man. The Tin Man has a problem. He doesn't have a heart. She meets the lion. The lion has a problem. He's a coward lion. He's scared of everything. And all of this to go see the Wizard of Oz, which would be represented in the allegorical metaphor as the gold standard. And it's probably been written by Frank Baum as a populist novel that was actually against the gold standard, that was kind of mocking the gold standard. And that's why the Wizard of Oz, you know, is basically a scam. The Wizard of Oz is behind the curtain, and he says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I'm the Wizard of Oz. He basically has a projection of him that makes him look powerful, but he's just talking in a microphone. And that's basically gold, the kind of fakery that gold is. But it's so interesting because despite the populist anti-gold approach of this movie, you can still kind of recycle the movie morally and say, well, you know, they got to the Wizard of Oz and in a way they solved their problems by going there. It's not the Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz didn't have magical powers to fix them. He didn't have the power to give back your heart, the power to give back your brain, or the power to make the lion courageous. But by just challenging them to a task, they had to find these within themselves. And in that sense, gold, the aspiration to wealth and the illusion of gold is driving people toward their best selves. And in that way, I tend to see The Wizard of Oz as not so much of an anti-gold message. It's probably something that tried to be an anti-gold message, but that ultimately makes a good case for a kind of aspiration that is pure, that could be a lie, but heading toward that aspiration, trying to be as close as you can to the lie, makes you a better person in the end, and that truth of the better person you become is all there was. It's all there was to care about. DK Shadow says, it's the journey, not the destination, yada, yada, yada. Exactly. We all know that this moral lesson has existed before and it's nothing special. But to see it expressed beautifully in a children appealing movie, you know, is relatively interesting. For a 1939 movie, that was fascinating to me to discover. What on earth is Zuck doing, Elon Musk? Threads will allow you to follow Mastodon users by year end, according to Meta meeting details. Twitter rival Mastodon, rife with child abuse materials, study finds. So basically, well, who cares about... who cares about the Threads? Threads has failed. Threads has not succeeded, and they can connect to whatever they want. Mastodon has failed also. So you're just going to connect failures with one another. Stephen Robinson wanted me to debunk this guy. And it's like, I don't want to, but I don't want to leave Stephen Robinson hanging and thinking that he got it right, and oh, I found something that Jeff cannot debunk.
You seem to believe that an airplane flying over a globe Earth would not have to follow the curvature of the Earth, do ya? Alright, let's do that. What we are discussing here is what an airplane would have to do when flying over a ball. This individual right here, he seems to believe that the airplane would only need to adjust 8 inches a mile. Fly much further than that. And when flying long distances over a ball, that airplane is going to have to follow the curve of the Earth miles, according to this math, in between these two locations. How in the world can an airplane traveling this distance only adjust for 1,866 feet of curvature? There is 949...
The explanation for why this guy is wrong is quite simple. He has started from an assumption that is incorrect. The guy is saying 8-inch correction. The planes are not adjusting for 8 inch per mile on their devices. What planes are doing is they are calculating elevation by altimeter. And the altimeter works on air pressure. So they measure the air pressure and they conclude which height they are based on air pressure. As a plane goes around the globe, the air pressure directs the plane slightly more down than it would if it was to be headed towards space, because the air pressure is constantly telling the plane, you are at that much height altitude. If the plane happens to be too high, the plane goes down. So there is a self-correction mechanism in the trajectory of the plane, which is based purely on air pressure measure, not on trigonometric calculations of distance. Fat D says, air pressure equals containment, i.e. not infinite space vacuum. Yes, containment, but what you forget to mention is that gravity allows some degree of containment. Continuous containment is what you have to open your mind to if you want to understand how our ball of planet Earth can float in space and yet not leak all of its gas. Bitcoin is a global asset, says Fink of BlackRock. And if we need it to, we can vote on which network is the real Bitcoin. Oh my God, I don't know if it's a true quote, but that is very worrying. I've just realized that the Bitcoin ETFs will be gathering some massive power in the Bitcoin economy. What if there is a fork war and the elitists at the Bitcoin ETFs have enough power to influence the community in the wrong direction? That is extremely worrying. I'm scared because I've always trusted the internet to do the right thing. The power of the people distributed across the internet, that I trust. But with the Bitcoin ETFs, what would happen if there was a fork war? Might they go for the other way? Might they mislead Bitcoin into becoming a, yes, master slave? What if the boomers take over JF? Well, that scares me a lot, let me tell you. That shakes my confidence. I still think that short term it's not dramatic, because short term in the current bull run, I don't see any conflict happening that will lead to a big fork war. But in the long term, I have no doubt that within the next 20 years, these Bitcoin ETFs might be able to pull some power move politically that basically takes Bitcoin away from the internet and toward the regulatory elite side of things. So I'm going to have to sell my Bitcoin within the next 20 years, for sure, I think. TMZ has released footage of OnlyFans model Courtney Clenny abusing her boyfriend. Less than 2 months later, she stabbed him to death.
Anguish. No, like, I was fucking sober for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! 2 weeks! And now why am I not sober? Because of you!
Oh my god. An alcoholic with severe problems of violence. This I've known again and again. She's tapping on him because she drank. And she had been sober for 2 weeks, which somehow seems to be a great accomplishment in her life.
Like, you know, but you're hindering my progress.
You need to sit down. You need to sit down.
Let go of me. Let go of me. Let go of me.
Okay.
Come on, boy. Let go of me. Like, I can't even, like, I'll talk to you.
Yeah, the solution is not to do like this guy does. You do have to self-defend. But then you leave them space. So you don't want to control them and try to say, sit down or control yourself, because then you're going to be pointed to as controlling her arms. No one cares that she slapped you in the face 2 seconds ago. They're just going to say, oh, well, you know, you were kind of rough in trying to stabilize her flapping arms. Shrink Mamel says, JF, my ex-girlfriend is still texting me right now after I sent her my goodbye text that I showed you hours ago. Now she only told me a few minutes ago that she will leave me alone. The story with Shrink Mamel is so... And it's just like this kind of woman. They are just problematic women who will just bring pain in your life. It's fucking amazing, fucking painful. I can't believe what Shrink Mamel is sending me in terms of text between him and his ex. It's like she was like for 2 days. She was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be okay alone at home. Oh my God, I'm alone. You know, my brother just left the apartment and now I find myself alone. And Shrink Mamel, you know, the autistic JFG tonight listener was like, Jeff, I'm not sure what she wants. I was like, she wants to be inseminated. You go out there and you inseminate. And I didn't know everything about her when I said this. Now I would have actually an hesitation. But so I was like, yeah, you know, this is a clear sign she wants to be inseminated. But then she starts saying, well, I do have a current boyfriend. But I don't know if he's going to come to help me because I'm alone. And I don't know. Well, actually, I don't know if he's my boyfriend. It's not clear. Well, actually, I've been just talking to him and it's not clear between us. And it's kind of unstable. I don't know if I'm alone now or not. But I'm scared. Holy shit. And at some point I told Shrink Mamel, here's what I would write in these circumstances. And I said, what was the sentence? I said, listen. And Shrink Mamel sent this sentence word for word to her. Listen, life comes at you fast. You won't go anywhere with this mentality of, I don't know. So either you choose to build a family with me and straighten yourself up, or we're both losing time here. And he sent her that, and she continued for hours saying, oh, well, I don't want to be with you. I have a boyfriend. And then without him ever replying to this, like totally ignoring her, she was coming back on her statements and she was like, oh, well, I don't know that I have a boyfriend. You know, I don't know if I have a current boyfriend. And, oh, no, I have a boyfriend. I have a boyfriend. I can't be with you. Oh, no. Oh, I don't know if I have a boy. She did 4 flips without a single reply from us, this fucking bitch. She did 4 flips of having a boyfriend, not having a boyfriend. And at this time, I wasn't even needing to counsel Shrink Mamel. He said, all right, Jeff, I'm cutting ties with her. I don't even need your help anymore. And he wrote to her like, fuck off, bitch. He wrote to her really a clear break type of fuck off, bitch. And he called her an evil woman. And he said, like, there's no fixing you. And still after this clear cut off fuck off, she's still today now trying to get him back by continuing the chat and then saying, oh, well, okay, I'm going to stop messaging you. And then coming back and messaging him. It is fucking painful. We have to find a way to fix the woman problem.
Get the fuck off me.
You don't want to hit me?
Christian, he saw me and I know he's looking. I'm fucking like fed up with you. I'm fed up with that, you fucking...
Yeah, you're fucking psychotic. You are a problem for everyone around you. You will never be fixed. In fact, she ended up killing this guy. 2 months later, she ends up killing this guy, actually. And it's like, it's that one case where the toll, where somehow you get paid. So it's like, you know, these Monopoly cards of the bank made an error in your favor. Please cash in $500. This is a reverse toll. It's money that you get for passing onto the bridge. Amazingly. Shrink Mamel says, my ex would get drunk like that and hit me. That is what they do. That is so... And this is... I've been through a lot of women. I've been through woman and woman and woman and woman. This is a majority behavior. This is standard. It's what you can expect on average from the modern woman.
Treat me. Oh, fucking... Yes, I'm not mad at you.
You let Malala say some wine-ass shit that affected you.
I didn't let her say anything. I didn't say... You fucking did it.
Hey, let's go to Malala right now. Let's pull up
no,
to her.
No. I'm just going to say her the same.
No, she's in the group chat. Let's put her on the phone right
you,
now.
I dare you.
Yeah, you dare me?
How can these people afford these luxury apartments with luxury furniture and they lose so much of their days just in these conflicts, these interpersonal conflicts? I live at a much lower, you know, standard of living. But if you bring that level of conflict in my life, you are causing problems to me that are really painful. Like, but these people somehow, they have like infinite resources. They can have all of the furniture. This costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, just this right here. They can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars on this shit and then spend their days in troubled, alcoholic arguments. Unbelievable. Dino Rogovich says, the Wizard of Oz, confiscation of gold. The executive order 6102. I do have to read about this story because I think it's super interesting. Silver Spider says, hey, JF, would you ever watch Mary Poppins 1964? The father works at a bank and the mother is involved in political activism and Mary Poppins guides them back to caring for their children. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. I might watch it, yes. I have much greater chance if my girlfriend tells me you have to watch Mary Poppins. Shrink Mamel says it's because they finance everything. Oh yeah, so this is all on a loan. This is all a fake life. Maybe that's why they have so much pressure on their shoulder, you know? Sometimes the financial pressures of debt will make the couple crumble. Because the woman is there wanting more stuff and the guy is like, well, you know, we can't really afford it. We're already in the negative.
Keep saying
you
it.
Do it.
They stop saying it then.
Do it.
They stop saying it then. They stop saying it then.
Let's look. I'll okay,
come on. Ask her. Ask her, did I touch her
do
breast yesterday?
Do you see how fucking instigative he is?
No, you're telling me I touched her breast yesterday when I fucking...
You didn't. I didn't say...
Also, the whole paranoia, the psychotic delusion is around him touching breasts. Not impossible. You never know. It's very hard to know. You know, this guy may have touched the breast of someone, but it does seem like a reasonable guy. He's very much trying to de-escalate this conflict. Or perhaps it's a pure delusion of her. You know, I've had some delusional woman thinking that I've looked towards some other woman in some way when I didn't. You never know. Very hard to judge, but given her psychotic state, it's absolutely within reasonable distance of explanation that she's just deluded.
You're fucking touching.
You said I didn't.
You were leaning. Yo, you were dumb as fuck.
Oh, so he says, I didn't touch the breast. And she says, well, you were leaning. So he was leaning toward breast. Well, I've seen some delusional woman convinced of leaning that didn't exist, let me tell you.
I actually don't agree with you. Actually, I'm done.
Okay.
Can you send him home?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm done.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Fucking done. Done. Because you're fucking like, you're costing me money. I didn't do shit since I got to this fucking house because of you.
You let my mom say some lying ass shit.
No, because you were fucking flirting with fucking like three girls.
What three girls? What three girls? You?
Well, maybe. You matter.
You.
So you were this makes me believe that she is truly delusional, because she's like, you were flirting with three girls, and he's like, which girls? You and you? And she's like, I don't know, doesn't matter. So she doesn't even have a support of saying, well, it was the girl in the red dress and the girl with the Hennessy bottle and the girl with the crack pipe. No, you were leaning in on two girls. Doesn't matter which girls. I don't know what were the girls.
Milan, I was flirting with Milan.
And she's saying, hey, come get your mans.
You're fucking lying.
He's trying to come home with me.
Okay, and her female friend told her, hey, come get your man. Okay, maybe that could be a sign that he was somehow flirty with the other girl. I don't know. Very hard to say.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
Who's telling the truth? The black man or the psychotic white girlfriend? 50-50. Shrink Mamel is sending me still text that his ex is sending. It's like, I am sorry. I didn't want to mislead you into getting back to you. I did so because... I didn't want you to think that I want to be back with you. I did so because I wasn't sure if my boyfriend would leave me. So she lead you on sexually, claiming that she's the little princess that needs saving. She leads you on sexually, making you hear that she's willing to receive you at her home because she's alone. She does so not even on the basis that she just got dropped by her boyfriend. She does so in case she gets dropped by her boyfriend. That is a fucking evil, stupid whore. That is like, oh my God, she took you as an insurance policy. Absolutely problematic woman. I would continue doing what you're doing there. The way these women suffer the most is when you don't answer anything. Because their brain is like psychotic and it goes into, what is he thinking? Oh, maybe I could have gotten him. Or what if my boyfriend now does leave me? And wow, she lead you on because she thought maybe her boyfriend was about to drop her. These psychotic females are dangerous for the world, let me tell you, and there's way too many of them. I would highly recommend you just give no answer, not even a fuck you anymore. You've said what you had to say to her, now let her suffer with herself. Because the thing that they hate is to be stuck with themselves. Kelly says, that's right, and you don't need to go through more of that. It's bad for you and dangerous. Yes, absolutely. What else do we have before we conclude the show? Seti is overtaken by woke ideologues, more interested in debating transphobia and whiteness than searching the stars. Well, no surprise. You know, you create this whole scientific project, which is fascinating. I find it fascinating to be looking for extraterrestrial signals. But we're faced with a big problem in this field. There is no success that you can measure. It's like, oh, well, what's the best signal searching effort? Well, is it the one that scanned the northeastern part of the sky between 2012 and 2014? Or is that the one that scanned the whole light spectrum at a smaller sample rate in the northwest, in the southeastern part of the sky? Or is it the one that looked into further into the past using gravitational? The answer is zero. The success rate of every extraterrestrial search up to now has been zero, and therefore all projects are equally successful. In fact, you at home watching JFG tonight are receiving as much signals from the extraterrestrials as any expert of the field ever. So when you don't have a measure for meritocracy, you end up having the corruption of the bottom just rising. And now the guy that controls the satellite number 47 becomes worried increasingly that he may not be a guy, he may be a girl. And now it's about, well, does our search for extraterrestrial really take into account the lived experience of the trans extraterrestrial? Inevitably, this is where you're headed. This is where you're headed because you don't have a measure to distinguish the successful from the unsuccessful. So you end up with a population of unsuccessful, crappy, low-performance people. The Houthis are undeterred after the U.S. Coalition pummeled over 60 targets with Tomahawk missiles and airstrikes. The Houthis are saying, we're still in the game. You haven't neutralized us. All right, so that's it for today. Rest in peace, Coach Red Pill, 1968, 2024. So how old was he then? 1968, 2024. He was 56 years old. It is relatively young to die, but when you go through so much trouble in life as Coach did, you burn the candle of life at both ends. And so rest in peace and respect to Coach Red Pill, a pillar of modern streaming as we know it. Much love, everyone, and see you all tomorrow.